Tight end Chris Baker's on the line. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Great. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Sammy.
We just asked Sammy Morris this question a minute ago, and I'm curious to get your take. When a player like Wes Welker goes down, a guy who, first of all, is a great player for your team, but apparently very popular with his teammates, when something like that happens, is it hard not to have an emotional effect on the entire team?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you know, you watch him go out. I mean, you talk about a hard worker, and, you know, I mean, every game means, you know, everything. Every game means everything to him, you know, so to see him go down injured is tough for everybody, you know, but at the same time, we got to, you know, rally the troops and get ready for a big game for us.
What was your approach in that game yesterday, Chris? I don't know if you heard us talking about it before you came on the line. It's a pretty strange situation when you go into a game knowing you're already in the playoffs, and if you can move up a slot, it's only going to be one slot, and it's not going to get you a first-round bye. How do you approach that type of game?
Well, we approach it like we approach every other game, you know. And of course, Belichick never put out like a game plan of, like, you know, like, you know, you guys are going to play this much or whatever it may be. It's just, you know, we approach it as another game, and, you know, we prepare for it like a regular game, and that's kind of how we approach it. So, you know, it's just, you know, the way he conducts his team, and, you know, we just kind of go along with it.
I know that, and Sammy just said he can't even envision playing in a regular season NFL game where you didn't really care whether you won or lost. I can picture it in a preseason game. Have you ever played in a regular season game where the outcome of the game didn't matter to you?
No, not really. I mean, just from my experience in being in New York, every time we made the playoffs, we had to, you know, it was like you had to win to get in type thing, and so. You know, I've never had that experience, and I don't think yesterday was really that experience. You know, we went out to play to win the game, and, you know, maybe we didn't do, you know, maybe we didn't show all our, you know, our whole card or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, as far as the plays that we did use, you know, we were playing them, you know, to win the game.
In other words, that's what life was like as a Jet, huh? Just dealing, just scraping and clawing, just trying to get by, some mediocrity there. Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, it always came down to the last week when we did make the playoffs. It always came down to last week. Kind of how it came down for those guys yesterday that they had to win to get in. And, you know, that's just kind of how, you know, that's kind of usually how it works out, because usually the Patriots are, you know, already locked up. So, same thing.
Did you talk to any of those guys? I know you still have some friends on that team. Did you talk to any of those guys before the game, after the game? I'm wondering if they were sending you any texts talking trash about what they're going to do in the playoffs.
No, not yet. I made sure to send them my close friends, a picture of my hat and T-shirt from last week. But, you know, I just wish them luck on this week coming up. You know, last week, I just didn't. They just played yesterday, I should say. And, you know, that's about it, really. But, we won't cross paths until it's much further into the playoffs. So.
Who would you say your closest friend on that team is?
You know, I have a few good friends. Thomas Jones is a good friend of mine. Dustin Keller, you know, I kind of took him under my wing last year when he came in. Tony Richardson, you know, Damian Woody, most of the guys on offense and the defensive guys. You know, a lot of Brian Thomas, we came in together, Sean Ellison. So it's a lot of those guys were at my wedding this past offseason. So, I mean, a lot of those guys are good friends of mine.
Is there any difference from a receiver's perspective when Tom Brady's throwing the football to you or Brian Hoyer, in this case, is throwing the football to you? Does it feel different? Does it come off the hand different? Is it a different experience for you?
Well, Brian has a very strong arm. So he's still working on, you know, when he needs to fire it or when he needs to, you know, just get it to you. So you get those sometime in practice where your finger, you know, you're shaking your finger after the play or something like that. But, you know, I mean, there's obviously a difference. They have two completely different styles. And, you know, and Brian's done a good job in practice. And, you know, and the time he got in yesterday, you know, aside from that holding call, he's made a great throw down to Slater down there to put us in scoring position. So, I mean, you know, he's done a good job. And, you know, he's a young guy that's, you know, come out and done a good job and given opportunity. So, you know, we're confident in him.
Our Sunday morning partner, Christian Fourier, calls it tight end love. We're seeing a little more tight end love here the last couple of weeks. At least they're looking at you guys now and then.
I hope we continue, you know, because, you know, me and Ben, we can do some things in the passing game. And, when our numbers call, we try and come through and make plays. So hopefully it continues.
You talked about quarterbacks who throw hard, and the young guy Hoyer is in that category. I'm wondering how it was receiving balls from Brett Favre, because just watching him in person or in TV, it always looks like every ball is thrown a little harder than it needs to be. I mean, what was your experience playing with him?
His ball is very different. Like, as far as, I mean, he tries to throw it through a wall every time he throws it, and so just getting used to the motion of it coming out of his hand. And sometimes it is weird. Like, sometimes his ball would actually move like a curveball type thing. It wouldn't just come straight to you. So you really have to track the ball all the way into your hands a lot of times. It wasn't like, okay, well, it's coming, I can catch it and, you know, be looking upfield. You really have to track it into your hands because he threw it so hard. So, that was a different experience as well. And, you know, it took a little bit of getting used to having played with Chad Pennington and then switching over to Brett Favre, like, from one day to the next day, basically.
So, Chad, I mean, you know, no disrespect to Chad, but it was probably like the difference of a knuckleball pitcher one day and a fastballer the next, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a big difference, you know. Like Chad, I mean, he's a lot more on timing and rhythm as opposed to like Brett. Brett is, you know, he's a fireballer, so I guess you can make comparisons. But, you know, Chad, I mean, he got the job done too, so, you know, everybody has a different approach. And
I would think that as a tight end, when you're looking at film of the Baltimore Ravens, it's hard not to keep your eyes off of Ed Reed. In fact, any receiver who's catching a ball is probably looking out for Ed Reed. Tell me what you see from his game in the past and when you've played against him that's made him so good.
Well, he's really unorthodox, and he makes a lot of plays that you can't account for as an offense, you know, like, for example, if they're in a post safety defense, you know, that post safety usually stays deep and, you know, they just kind of make sure nothing gets behind them, where sometimes he can come down and he'll anticipate a play and he'll jump across and around. And the quarterback, as a player and as a quarterback and a receiver, you don't anticipate him being there, but it's something he's seen on film where he knows where the ball's going to go to and he'll jump that route. And it's like, you know, it's hard to – usually, you know, okay, they're in this coverage and that's, you know, that's what it is, but he'll change the whole coverage by himself and make a play, and that's why he's made so many, you know, big plays and games, because he has a great anticipation, and, I mean, he has the speed to get there. And you know, I think he's one of the best safeties to ever play the game, to be honest with you. He's, in my era, he's one of the best guys I've ever seen.
Now, obviously, you've played both teams this year, three times total, the Jets twice, the Ravens once early in the season. And we know Rex Ryan used to be the defensive coordinator in Baltimore. When you looked at the Jets and you looked at Baltimore this year, any similarities defensively, or do you think Baltimore changed once Rex left?
Baltimore, they definitely changed when Rex left a lot. I mean, obviously he brought his whole scheme to the Jets, and they do a lot of different things at the Jets now. But they do pretty much exactly what the Ravens used to do when he was the coordinator. And the Ravens, they've kind of scaled back some of their blitzes and schemes that, you know, that Rex dialed up, because he's just, you know, he had a different coordinator and he has a different philosophy. So, I mean, you know, but they still have great players. So, I mean, you have to be aware at all times of, you know, what they come up with. But a lot of those blitzes that they had, they don't use as much anymore.
And I remember talking to some of the guys who are no longer there, who would have been your teammates, but, you know, Teddy Bruschi retired and Vrabel is traded. And some of those guys, when it came to the playoffs, they would say they'd shut down everything. And as a matter of fact, they'd tell their wives, we're going into playoff mode. And that was code, and the wives knew what that meant. You know, whether it's tickets, anything around the house, I'm not available, it's playoff mode. Do you do anything like that when it comes to the playoffs, or do you continue your regular season routine?
Well, you got to really intensify everything you do. You know, everything you do during the week has got to be geared towards that one Sunday afternoon, which is a normal process. But it, you know, after overtime of the regular season, it's like, okay, you get into a groove, but it really intensifies during the playoffs because, you know, it's, you're one and you're done. So a lot of the outside distractions you really have to take out. You know, like, as far as everything, like, you know, obviously ticket requests go up and
So your wife tells you to take out the trash. You say, look, sweetheart, playoff mode. It's the playoffs.
Yeah. See, my daughter actually has to do that around the house. So, you know, but, yeah, for the most part, you know, you really just she knows and understands, like, you know, that everything is basically, you know, it's all about really, really, truly all about football right now. And, you know, she takes that into consideration. So she doesn't try and get me to do too many things on this time of year.
Got your daughter taking out the trash.
You sound like Roosevelt Colvin now.
Say,
you know, everybody has to pull their weight now. So, you know, that's what it comes down to. I mean, everybody has to pull their weight. So.
Now that she takes that, she didn't have to. She didn't get paid for it, does she?
Eventually. Not yet, though.
Okay. Not yet. Hey, Chris, congratulations on the playoff spot. Best of luck to you next week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.